I find, and this isn't conclusive at all, but I find when I do inform people like this, or when I interact with audiences, not all of whom have come to hear me because they agree with me.
Yeah.
They've come because they've heard my name. They mm-hmm. don't know why exactly.
Yeah.
They're rather mixed often.
Yeah.
Their immediate reaction is not, well, all right. By the way, I'll tell you what the reaction of this guy at Livermore was. It's interesting. I was very disappointed in it. I thought, ha ha, I really get through to him. I gave him this article
yeah.
to read, see? He said, well, that all seemed very understandable to me, very pleasant. All these threats that I was describing,
so yeah.
the first strike threats
mm-hmm.
and the first use threats in Korea, in Indochina. And he said, I said, you had heard of those before? And he said, well, I'd heard of some of them, like Cuba, for example. I said, yes, Cuba was public. Berlin was public.
Quemoy.
But these others were secret.
Yeah.
Did you know about Quemoy? Did you know about Korea in 1953?
Yeah.
Did you know about Kaesong? Did you know about Vietnam? He said, no, he didn't know any of those. But he emphasized, he said, but I didn't find it surprising. I didn't find it anything. Well, all right, so he goes on working. He,
exactly.
That's why he's there.
Yes.
But I can tell you, frankly, in my experience, I was amazed. That was the first American that I had run into. He happens to design nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
I had run into an American who reacted that way. I find the people who hear that, I meet later in jail. Not all of them, but
yeah.
I mean individuals. And people, many people came up to me in jail. I said, I was in a room with 40 people, and then later, and they say, you know, you ought to know why I'm here.
Because I heard you, or I read
you,
your...
this
yeah.
lecture,
yeah.
I heard it. It was all just information.
Yeah.
It wasn't any
yeah. Yeah.
exhortation. And so I know that it has some effect. And they change their lives. They've never gotten arrested before. But arrest isn't the only thing, of course.
Yeah.
But they go into the freeze movement for a bilateral freeze. It's going on in California. They do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the information does help that along. I draw from that this, that, first of all, by the way, you can, of course, be against the nuclear arms race without knowing any of this. It just looks bad, obviously,
yeah,
needless
yeah.
to say. But there are a lot of people who aren't active against it, and some of them, I find, their ignorance, which is an enforced ignorance by the term, has been functional for the government. Their ignorance has kept them apathetic and
faithless. It's functional for them, too.
And them too.
Because that's what they hired the government to do.
Yeah, but when
you keep you're making the them.
No, that's
it's
true.
All us.
That's true. Some of them. I make distinctions.
Yeah.
Some, yes.
Okay.
But others, when they get that information, however painful it is, and how can it be other than painful?
Yes.
To discover that one or another of those presidents they probably voted for.
How could it be other than painful? It's terribly painful.
It's painful, and
yeah.
yet they thank me for it.
Yeah.
I say me because this is information from my background. I happen to be
yeah.
the purveyor of this yeah. information. The others get it from other people, you know, the Physicians for Social Responsibility, haven't called the government. But they thank, they say, okay, now I know what the problem is, I know there's something that can be done. And especially they get a feeling that the fact that they've been lied to suggests that the president must have thought that there were a lot of people out there who needed to be lied to. And I think the president was right. I think the president
yeah,
was right
yeah.
about that. And they immediately sense, if this has been surrounded by so much secrecy, it must mean that there are a lot of people whose potential reaction is like mine. There's a lot of us out here.
Mm-hmm.
The us, that particular us gets bigger. If you perceive that on this issue, the president is one of those who has
come
to believe that
yeah.
our interests in oil and our interests in mm-hmm. status and our interests in this and that demand
whatever,
our
whoever that is,
he's different from
we
us.
Have cast created roles in society where we have put people that represent certain values in ourselves that we really want kept there and done with,
you
but we don't want them.
I do hear that point, which may well be true. It's a shrewd observation.
Mm-hmm.
The president is doing what we unconsciously want, or what we tacitly want, all of us, basically. I heard that during Vietnam, and I hear it now, mainly from people who were disillusioned with action or were explaining why they weren't doing it.
Mm.
I just tell you that as
yeah.
empirical data.
Yeah.
I'm
no.
not laying that, that's
no,
true.
No, because
or,
I think that the action must take into account the honesty of our predicament, which means the unconscious way in which we're trying to preserve our 6%, you know, all that business, our economic advantage. And that as soon as we're willing to cop to what our situation is, then there'll be an honest change.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're building hypocrisy upon hypocrisy in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just giving a more complex mixed message.
People told me during the Vietnam War, when I was giving the Pentagon, when I was in the process of making these decisions about the Pentagon Papers, a senator told me, who had been very much a collaborator up till that point on other matters. He didn't know about the Pentagon Papers. I was pressing him to do a filibuster, to do something that no senator ever did from beginning to end of the war. Senators filibuster right and left,
yeah,
against civil rights,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I understand,
whatever. Never on Vietnam.
Filibuster on Vietnam, yeah.
And he said, face it, Dan, the people we were, now, this was 1971, American casualties were way down, going way down on the downswing. The cost of the war was going down. What was not going down was Vietnamese casualties. The bombing was going up.
Yeah.
The refugees were going up.
Yeah.
The media did not present that figure. They only showed charts every week that showed mm-hmm. how the casualties were going down, mm-hmm. the U.S. casualties. His point was, he said, face it, Dan, the American people don't care about Vietnamese casualties. And there's no way to make them care. And I said, this, by the way, was the same argument that many other people said when they said, don't talk about Vietnamese casualties, talk about the cost to our budget. We hear the same on the arms race now.
Yep.
My father said it to me the other night. I said, Dad, he's 92, from your experience, how can we get people to change this? And he said, well, they're concerned about inflation. They're concerned about the budget. Maybe you ought to concentrate. Mm. Meaning, he's very with it. I mean,
yep.
that's reasonable,
sure,
practical advice.
Of course.
And I remember telling him, it's just like Vietnam. He said, don't talk yeah. about Vietnamese casualties. Don't talk about yeah. what we do to them.
Yeah.
Talk about the cost to us. That'll yeah. get home. The trouble was that Nixon had a strategy for reducing the cost to us.
Yeah.
It continued or increased the cost to them.
Yeah.
So he took away your argument, mm-hmm. if that was your only argument. Mm-hmm. But I remember saying to this senator, I said, you know, you may be right. You may well be right. I know lots of evidence for that. If you're right, I don't see any way to end the war. For this reason, the American costs were going down.
Sure.
If the costs to other people, other humans, don't matter to Americans, there's no way to get them to end it. I don't believe it's right. I remember saying this. I remember it was January of 1971. I was in the process of putting out the Pentagon Papers. They came out in June. But I was just telling him where I was, and I said, I'm ready to take other actions. I believe it's worth doing, on the bet that the American people do care about what they're doing to other people, somewhat. And now I'll tell you what I think I learned from Vietnam on that issue and what's happening now, and I do apply it now.
Was that some people did care?
A lot of people cared.
A lot of people cared.
That doesn't contradict the experience that I'm sure is in your mind, which is how easy it is for really all of us to be unconcerned about earthquakes here and devastations there that we think we're not responsible for, or our country is not responsible for. And under various situations, we're selective, I'm selective, I got more involved in Vietnam than in other issues. Also, when they are involved, they are for various interests, like not losing, not suffering the shame of defeat, you know, the
yeah.
feeling and so forth, whatever. They are willing to kill people, and kill a lot of people.
Mm.
And they're willing to see their sons die.
Mm.
That's true.
Mm.
In a cause that ain't that good, mm. even. So what do you do with people like that? They are not as willing to massacre women and children, non-combatants, to an indefinite level. They're not as willing as their leaders are. They're not as willing as the guys who struggle all their lives, the men who struggle all their lives for positions of power which are defined above all by global life and death powers.
Yeah.
The people who want that job are not exactly the same as you and me,
mm-hmm.
or they're not the same as their wives or their children. They are a bit different.
Mm.
And how there are lots of people like them, no
it's
doubt,
just
in
selecting
the
on certain variables.
But I'm saying
we
the American
lessened.
People had, when the costs went way down in
yeah.
73 and 74 and 75,
still, yeah.
and the costs were really minor compared
yeah.
to other things we were doing.
It wasn't any.
They said, we don't want to spend any more money to kill Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Not many Americans are dying anymore. We don't want any to die anymore. We want that over with.
Yeah.
We've enough of that. We don't. The cause isn't good enough for it. That their presidents didn't have that belief. Carter didn't have that belief.
Mm.
It's not just Reagan. Carter was willing to call it a noble cause. He supported it to virtually the end. Nixon, the others, Ford, they thought it was worth going on.
Yeah.
There was no limit. I'm saying there is that difference. The nuclear issue poses it. The nuclear issue brings it right up. I hear now what I'm saying as I talk to you, and it is this. The religion of the American public is not pacifism. It is not unilateral disarmament. It may never be, or not for a long time. But it is not the religion of their leaders. And it is a religion in the broad sense of a cultural framework that I think will not permit them to continue supporting what the role this country
is playing. The role this country is playing, yes.